Welcome to the Hour of Truth, a topical radio Bible show broadcast by the Fishman Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishmanministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Welcome to the Hour of Truth. I'm Paul Muller, I have Philip Walthall, Brad Capshaw, and James Uthler out in left field as usual, and my voice is shot, so here we go.
Good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, everyone.
You got a volume control? This is eating me up.
Yes, I do. Can I lower it for you? Lower or upper?
I don't know, I'm a man of faith, I'm just rolling with it.
Say something, James.
Can you hear me, Paul?
That's a little hot there, yeah.
Okay, there you go.
Is that better?
It's nothing.
Testing.
Oh, that works. That works. That's good.
I'm so glad I could accommodate you.
How's life in Georgia?
Well, good morning. And now that we've established that everybody can hear James, except for the people in the chat, I'm sure sooner or later we'll determine that they can hear him as well. It's another week with the Hour of Truth. So, guys, tell me some truth.
Well, I thought this morning was pretty good. I caught the back end of Ricky out in Arizona, which was right in line with what we were talking about. You're not managing.
I can't hear Brad, Paul.
Speak up, Brad.
You can't manage your own life. You're no good at it, but there's a better way if you'll just reach out and grab it. I like that. Y'all don't have to worry about stepping on me. You can just jump in. That's fine.
James, what'd you get out of services, brother?
Sounds well, like well there was a lot.
Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Sound great.
All right. Well, there was a lot about, I mean, really, like you had said, Paul, Phil, that daily dying to yourself, as Paul says. And Rick talking about you can't serve two masters, and I think you did too. I mean, it's, as the conference said, you know, it's time the games stop, and we either need to serve the Lord. It's either in or out. Get in or get out. We need to make the Lord the only thing in our life.
Yeah, but when you do that, it's, well, I got a long Pentecostal holiness background, and the way that quite typically comes across is as a threat, which, yeah, that's valid. The thing I was catching this morning in our services and a little bit of Rick's I got here was it really is a better way. It is a way of peace. It's a way of life. It's everything we're seeking and everything we're not able to do on our own. It's hope. It's peace. It's joy. It's prosperity to the soul, solid family relationships and friends that are there when you get in trouble, and I mean everything that you want, it's right there.
I guess, are you saying the threat is to your life?
No, the threat is eternal condemnation, which I say that is clearly, that's true. That is true. But one thing that was coming across this morning, what I was hearing was, yeah, that is true, and it's also better in the now, better for us now.
Well, giving your life over to the Lord is freeing.
Exactly.
All that bondage, all that's gone. We just have to receive it.
And you enter into the relationship through the baptism of blood, and then you get the baptism of the Spirit after that. At that point, you have the ability not just to know the choice, but you have the ability to make a right choice and to follow through on it. And to be happy in that choice. Sinners don't have that. We didn't have that before. We pretty much were just slaves to the flesh. Whatever was coming down the road, we would just choose. And that's not so now. And that is freedom. That's what the world's looking for.
Telling people what they want to hear so they'll like you is idolatry. That's the strongest thing that I get out of what's going on there, because it doesn't matter what you look like. You know, you can have all the dressings of, you know, somebody who's very religious and shows up every time the church doors are open. But if you are one who tells people what they want to hear, so they'll like you, you don't love them. You love yourself.
Yeah. It's philios versus agape.
That's right. And, you know, people, there's a lot of people that run around. They make a living off of feeding philios in people, not telling them the truth, the first lick.
Yeah, we're naturally wired to do that.
But, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, it is, you know, it kind of refers me back to out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. It just is, because it just marries with the flesh and marries with the old natural man. It flows like a hot knife through butter. I mean, it's just smooth, man.
Yeah, and if we find ourselves doing it, then that's evidence that what we're actually doing is not serving Christ. We're serving the flesh, trying to feel good, trying to make other people feel good. You talk about religion. I think it might be in James, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. So the religion that pleases God is not dressing good.
And, you know, I used to read that with an attitude because that kind of tends towards works. But when you look at the meanings of the stuff he's talking about there, you actually look, go through, I don't know, the online Bible's concordance or whatever they're talking about. Somebody made those people fatherless and widows. They were conquered and the men and children were killed. I mean, who does that kind of thing?
Invading armies?
Yeah. A brutal dirtbag like our enemy does that kind of thing. That means you go minister to their needs. You don't ignore them because they're not comfortable people to be around.
You know, I look at visiting the fatherless and widows also, and I could be wrong on this, but I remember listening to a song. It was a Newsboys song. But he's talking about having a father in the fatherless days. I mean, when we come without an head, you know, and then
yeah,
looking
right.
at, you know, what is the woman's covering? The yeah. husband.
Right.
What is the child's covering?
That's what I mean by ministering to their needs.
Right.
Yes.
And then in that sense, ministering their needs, absolutely. But introducing to the true covering that can cover them, Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
Jesus Christ. Now, one of the things that brought up, I know that in Matthew 10, I know I brought that one where he says, I haven't come to send peace on earth, but a sword. And one of the things that made me think on those things, Paul, was actually kind of what you had said here early, and you kind of brought up that point, was the telling somebody the truth. Telling somebody their truth, regardless if they completely cast you off at all, but it was just that's what is necessary for them. And they might completely cast you off for a season, but it might, you don't know what that truth will do.
Once you put that out there, it can hang there until it has fruition.
Right.
But if you don't speak it, it's never there.
Right. Well, it's just like somebody having an issue for years. Let's say, you know, we've been having an issue for years and been going to a let's say a church or it don't even matter, but they have friends and family, and the whole time friends and family, because of that philios love, telling them what they want to make them feel good,
yeah,
they will never tell them the truth,
Right.
And they will never get free of that issue as long as that lie is keeping being delivered unto them, and they're going to hang on to it till it destroys them. How loving is that? That's not loving at all. Right. And, you know, you talk about, well, I haven't come to send peace on earth but a sword. When you tell somebody the truth, that can cause some friction.
I mean,
what's wrong with the church today? They all puff each other up and tell them how good and great they are and everything. And what happens is they forget that they're even sinners. They forget their first works. They forget they came to the cross broken and needy and in trouble.
Forget the first love.
First love, that's right. And see, that's loving. Something that was during the conference, and I think it was Steve was telling me this, about how there was a girl that he had in class that wanted to be a Super Bowl model, but was not going to be a supermodel. She physically was not going to be a supermodel. I don't know. He said there's no cutting and dicing that could have made that happen. It was not going to happen for this lady. And the teacher and friends, family, parents let this thing go on for years. I mean, this is high school, I think he said. Could have been middle school. But still a very long time. Who knows how long she had that dream. But was acting like it, playing the part. And really just was embracing something that was going to not helping her one bit, but destroying. And one of the teachers pulled her aside and told her, I'm here to let you know that you're not a supermodel and you're not going to be one. Now in the world and amongst, that is just devastating, but it was the right thing to do. How many times have you seen American Idol and these guys that cannot sing and their friends and family told them they could sing to the point that they could think they could go up and sing in front of
the best?
The best. And you got Simon and Simon can be a jerk. Absolutely. But Simon is probably one of the most loving ones to tell them and the judges to tell them the truth. He can't sing. Yeah. I'm not saying the way he goes about, but it's still, it's one of those things, Paul, that's what you were talking about. And that's where I haven't sinned, you know, peace, but because you stand in the place of telling them the truth. If Stephen didn't stand in the place of telling the truth, what good of it? If Paul didn't stand in the place of telling the people the truth,
nobody.
Who else is going to reject you from people that they really love? Who else is going to risk rejecting? You get rejected by people you don't know and don't care about all the time. You live with that, right?
Right.
Somebody who means something to you, when they reject you,
it hurts.
I mean, who wants that? When you love them enough to risk that relationship and tell them the truth, that's Jesus Christ. That's the love of Jesus Christ. And you operate in the faith of Jesus Christ because He took that rejection on Himself.
Did.
Yeah, I'm despised and rejected.
Absolutely. Because you're accepted by who? By Jesus. Okay, you're accepted by Jesus. And see, that acceptance is the only acceptance that's going to carry, that's going to give you that eternal life.
Paul sounds far away because Paul was a dingbat and shut off the mic when he cleared his throat and forgot to turn it back on.
But that's what saves is Jesus.
But you can't see him. You know? So
that's me on the mic button there, Sue.
Yeah. So you make a choice to bring somebody the truth, and you do it in love, and you do it correctly. But the end result, what you see is rejection. And what you can't see, but you know, is you're approved of God. So it goes back to faith. You know, you read the word, it says do this, and you have the faith to believe the word's going to make it work on their behalf. compounded by the fact that that working on their behalf doesn't, well, a lot of times it doesn't happen very quick. You can have somebody hacked off at you for a long time. I know. I've been on both ends of it.
And as we go through, you know, it talks about despise not the chastening of the Lord. Kind of looking at that truth that's being delivered or even being shown to you. I mean, it's one thing that chastening of the Lord where it's
hurts.
It can hurt. I mean, and that chastening where you recognize, I mean, you recognize, you look into that light shines on your heart. Now, may it be by somebody delivering it to you, or the Lord just shows you, or you just see the fruit of your own sowing, that it was no good. But you see yourself in that light, and you see yourself in that light in the sense of you. You realize who you really are,
which ain't usually.
Yeah, that's
a pleasant,
that's,
oh,
not, it's right. not, I mean, that's not good. That's never good.
Thing. I mean, who you really are. I mean, that's like, oh my. I mean, and you had no idea. I mean, quite frankly, you're just a dummy to it. It's like, oh my. It, you know. I mean.
I call that the Holy Ghost scalpel. 2:30 in the morning, you get woke up.
But what you have is yet hope, and what you see there yet is His grace and His mercy extended, and it's something for you to turn away from, and it's good for you because it makes you mindful. And what you want when you repent, you want to change, and you want to change. You don't want that to be a part of you anymore when that is being exposed. You want it gone, you know, and it makes you a lot more mindful of your natural man. And how you just had it, let it run. I mean, you just had it, let it run. You didn't even realize you're letting that thing run. But the one is the grace that's, He loved you anyway. And He's still giving you the uniform.
Right.
He still accepted you anyways.
And even that,
and it gives you compassion to accept the next person of how they are anyway. He's loved you, extended you that grace, and extended you that mercy. And you can have it on others. And then also it's something that you pass through. So when they pass through, when it's time for them to pass through, you have something you can share and minister the love and gospel and mercy of Jesus Christ. And at the same time, minister how good it was for you.
Yeah. Well, and that same, the back end of that same verse about scourging of the Lord, you know, it says He scourges everyone He receives. And so even though it hurts when it happens, that scourging and rebuke in itself is a sign not that you're being rejected, but that you are accepted. He has accepted you. He's tired of what you're doing. But we as people, He accepts
you. And just that out, to purge out that unbelief within yourself. He's out, it purges out that garbage that's in yourself that cannot stand, that you cannot hang on to and go forward anymore.
And the end of that is peace.
And it's peaceful fruit of righteousness is what you have. And see, that's a loving thing. See, that's the agape love of Christ. And that's some of the things that all those are loving things. I mean, what we talked about in that vein. And we're kind of going back to, you pit Jesus first. And what do you find is that you just rely on the gospel that much more for your very salvation. Because, and that's all you can rely on. I mean, that's all you can rely on. I know Rick was talking about some of his service, how he has never seen where somebody with, where it was hard pressed for him. He sees how people have a hard time trusting in Jesus because in their life hasn't been too many people that with a pure motive or whatever the case may be love Him, and there was a motive behind what they were doing, and they called it love, but it was just always an evil motive behind it.
Well,
in that sense, but
that's how Filio's love operates. Filio's love is conditional love. Right. It's I give it to get it. It's not agape love. It's sacrificial at times. It is not without a cost sometimes. Cost Jesus. So that's the risk, you know, in operating in agape, operating with the love of Jesus Christ, is that the same sort of rejection, the same sort of maladies that betook him for us on our sake, if we're not ready, if we're not doing it for other people's sake, just like walking like he walked, then we're ineffectual. It's not going to work.
Right.
It doesn't work. And you can't just, because it'll slip right in there, Philios will slip right in there and take its place and you not even notice it. Yeah. And that ends up being for you and not for them.
Yeah. And, you know, absolutely, Paul. Absolutely. And it's the willingness. I mean, one of the things you're talking about, it's that willingness to... willingness to be rejected, off scoured, to stand in that place without compromise. I mean, because what Stephen's words were was without compromise. What Jesus' words were was without compromise. He didn't compromise the Word of God.
That's right.
He did not compromise the Word of God, and he got killed for it.
That's right.
And it didn't blindside him. Right toward the end of his life, it said Christ would commit himself to no man because he knew what was in the heart of man. He always did what pleased the Father. And
but the Lord uses it to get Paul's attention later on.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, the fruit, there's always fruit of operating in the love of God. It's always fruitful.
And it's
you may never see it, but that's okay.
It's truthfully... It's truthfully one that you just, and I lost it there, but I mean, praise God. But go ahead. I mean, I lost it.
Now, that gap between Stephen, now, in his case, he saw the heavens open, and he actually saw his Lord, so he had something. But if you look at, I mean, Paul at the end of his ministry, he didn't have a lot going on that looked really on the up, did it?
Neither did you with Jesus.
Yeah, Jesus died.
I mean, he was...
Yeah, it looked like defeat to the natural eye.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Not to belabor the point, but none of the 11, except for 12, except for John, could say that, you know, the enemy didn't win, because, you know, he died an old man. He died old age. But that's not the testimony of the Word. That's not even the testimony of John.
I don't get it.
That they were failures.
Oh.
You know, John was around for quite a while.
Yeah, he lived to be right old.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking about by 65 A.D., they're all gone. You know, John probably around till the turn of the century or later.
And church history said he'd been boiled. They had tried.
Right. So, you know, he had some perspective. And none of his perspective, none of his commentary, his books are later writings. I mean, they're not necessarily what you would call contemporary with Paul and Peter, and us, because all that was before 65. John's were after. John's were like 85 to 95. Years, a generation has passed. So I trust John's commentary, and what he doesn't say is as important as what he does say. And what he doesn't say is these guys were failures. They were not failures. No. Their word was true, and their testimony was true, and their works were the works of the Lord.
Well, they're not failures. Why? Because the gospel got out.
Absolutely. They did their job.
I mean, that's the whole point.
Yes.
With Stephen, what happened? The gospel got out. With Paul, what happened? The gospel got out.
If your agenda is the Lord's agenda.
Got out.
then you don't see that as failure. If your agenda is your agenda, then that's going to look really bad.
With Jesus, the gospel got done.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, and
this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And the fact that you don't see it, the fruit of what your faith is bringing doesn't mean it's not happening.
The approval of Jesus' work was when he rose again from the dead. Right. Now, for the rest of us, that one's still out there. Okay, but Jesus' work was approved of because God raised him from the dead.
That's right.
And then he went to go sit at his right hand. He's not sweating it. He's not wringing his hands. It's done. He finished his work. Now, we're in his place. And we're about the business to learn how to walk that out ourselves.
Amen.
For the same reason he did it.
Absolutely.
For us.
And for us to walk that out and die to ourselves.
For other people.
To suffer, to be that living sacrifice, to go and walk in that agape love honestly. Honestly, and I clarify that because that's still work within me that is getting done to walk that out honestly. However, if the Lord, I mean, just want the gospel to manifest, but to walk that out honestly. But we lay down, I mean, that is for the gospel to get out so that people may know Jesus Christ and be able to have the opportunity to receive Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
And see, we're his body. Jesus did the Father's will. We're there to do what? The Father's will. And not to be, you're talking about being unspotted in this world. Not to be found in it. I mean, in the sense, I mean, I look at that and spotted, and I could have the wrong perception in it. But it's we're in this world, not to be partaking in this world, but to be of him.
It always goes back to faith. You're walking this life by faith, and
we're in this world not to punish or to suffer rejection. We're in here because this is where the sinners are, and we were among them. So we have the opportunity. There's a vast group. There's no shortage of people to hear the truth. No shortage. But we were like him. We become like him by receiving him. We're in the world, but not of the world. In the same way that he is not of the world, we are not of the world.
Yeah, that's more along the line.
We partake in the same ministry that was given to the disciples in John 17.
Yeah, it's the same commission.
Absolutely.
And putting him first and just being his servant, it's one that is the best thing that's ever happened to us. That opportunity is the best thing that's happened to any of us.
And I guess that's why that keep yourself unspotted from the world hit me a little bit when it came up again, because, you know, here through filters based on our past experience. And it's so easy to have a keep yourself unspotted from the world. You know, don't, you know, all this stuff that you're not supposed to do. But the victory is faith. It's faith that works by love. Faith works by love. It's not even in a sense. It is not about how well we even conduct our lives, is it? It's we live our lives with faith toward Christ. Then we can be effective.
I don't care who you are. From today, with sitting in here in this room with me, or Adam, or Cain, the ministry of the gospel is the same. God saves sinners, adulterers, whoremongers, rapists, perverts,
good old boys,
murderers. Who's that? Like, who's without sin? Cast the first stone. There's nobody without sin. Nobody could stand that. Nobody. And we got, you know, that's something you got to remember where you came from. Because if you don't, it's going to pervert the message that you have to give. And the message you have to give is not how much better I am than you. It's how good God has been to me. And, you know, the Pharisees couldn't stand that. He sits and eats with scribes and publicans and sinners. I could think of tax collectors. For some reason, I couldn't spit out publicans.
That's why I'm here.
But that's the truth of the matter is, if it's just that, if that's the feel, then he's by himself again.
Yeah. Yeah, right. So he's eating with publicans and sinners. Well, who else is there if you're Jesus?
That's all there is.
Yeah. Hey, you know, as long as we're living life in this fallen flesh, we remain sinners.
You keep that in mind. I mean, when Jesus came, even when he went to the kind of the outskirts and not to the inner cities, when he went to Galilee and all these things, what else did he also say? He said, repent.
Yeah.
What did John the Baptist say,
repent.
Repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's right now. Turn around. It's right here for you. But don't go that way.
It's not even that has to happen. It's that can happen. I mean, oh my gosh, you and me have had gone a couple of rounds of substance abuse, which is a real easy thing to see how it sinks a hook in you. So many people, you know, you've got something just plaguing you. And there is a way out. There is freedom.
You have... It's that turning around, man. Talking to a buddy of mine at work, and it was one that was... Turn around. Look at what's in front of you right now. Look at the opportunity you have right now. And if it was an opportunity for me and God was big enough to do things for me, he is definitely good enough to do things for you. But you need to turn around.
And it's not that we're offering somebody to change the shackles and chains they're on them, because, I mean, face it, being bad's a lot of fun. It really is. Nobody's looking for religiosity where you can't do this, you can't do that. That's the worst sort of bondage. It's unbearable and hopeless. I know. Yeah.
I mean, the gospel's freedom. It's not
the gospel's freedom.
That has nothing. Right.
It's joy. It's peace. It's brotherhood. It's a hand in this life because, you know, I love you. You love me. Our families. If it comes down to, got my back.
I mean, I used to think that drugs, alcohol, I had some fun with them.
Oh well.
For a season. But I come to quickly realize I was in so much bondage to that. I was in bondage. I mean, that's just another... I mean, you got that. You're talking about the legalism and all that and the religious thing. I mean, mine was drug abuse. It was still bondage. I mean, it was still sin. It's anything but in Jesus Christ is bondage. And that's where, you know... That's where the rejection comes in, because people are so fond of the bondage and so fond of whatever it is that they're bound to, and so familiar with what they're bound to, it's such a great thing to them. When you come and say that that's bondage, or come to say that turn that around, some are like, oh, I realize that's bondage. Thank you for another way. I didn't know of any other way. Some are like, I want to kill you for telling me that. Who the hell do you think you are?
Well, see, the Pharisees are an easy group to deal with.
I mean, the Pharisees were ones that, who do you think you are? What we have, this bondage that we have of the law, this right. bondage that we have, we think is great and wonderful. We do it so well, it makes us look good. We want to kill you for telling us otherwise. And you had, that's why it was easier with some of the others that knew that they were in bondage under such things. They've seen a better way. When they heard repent, the kingdom of heaven at hand, it was what? Good news to them. And that's why you had with the, that's why you turn around and when Paul went into the, to a place to preach the gospel. The Jews heard, and they one message they might have liked, and the next message they rejected. They were ready to kill them, man. They couldn't stand it. They couldn't stand it because they upheld their bondage as being some great thing. And then the Gentiles that were bound to things, when they found out that there was a better way,
they rejoiced.
Ready. They rejoiced. They loved it. They grabbed the hold on it and received it. But either which way, and that's a joyous thing when people receive that thing. I mean, it's a great thing. It's no greater joy when you preach than minister of the gospel and somebody gets it.
If you're dealing with somebody...
But it's very hard. It can be very, in the flesh, hard when you're absolutely rejected and hated on it for the other. Either way, you just set your face like flint. You're the Lord's servant, and you don't care. And you're willing to, because of the agape love, not philios love, you love them, and you go forward, you tell them the truth, you move forward. You move on. You don't worry about it.
That's right.
You don't worry about it. You love them anyway. I mean, Jesus, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Stephen, lay not this sin to their charge. See, Saul at that time, which was Paul, was one that hated it. Man, he thought it was blasphemy, and he went and he killed Stephen. He did it out of ignorance, don't mind you. But he hated it. I mean, who does he think he is? He is wrong. He's going against the living. I mean, when he come to find out, he was fighting against Christ himself. I mean, that was a turnaround.
If you go to somebody that's messed up, like dopers, typically a doper knows he's got trouble at some point, and they're more likely, I think, to be able to at least see that you're offering a way out of freedom. But when you're talking about the religious, the righteous, go ahead.
I find, and some of that is true, but pride is such a thing that dopers, even dopers, are ones that with pride will reject in the same manner as a Pharisee will. See, I don't want to classify one above the other because people are all just full of pride. And see, when it offends that and they don't grab a hold on to the good news that's actually there in front of them, it's what I find is just a person who can't stand the life that they have is the one that actually finds it good news. But a dope dealer that has it all, and you say that that's the different case? It just depends really where the person's at.
Right.
I mean, that's what I find. Homeless people. I remember what you have. Ricky was talking about, you know, somebody was homeless. He came to the Lord, and the Lord got him out of being homeless. And he became a servant, preaching the gospel, made a bunch of sandwiches for the homeless people. But people of the homeless people rejected the freaking sandwiches. It wasn't good enough for them. Well, hello, you're homeless. You don't have anything. Wait. So, I don't know if that makes any sense.
You're saying the one, pick your flavor of sin, one's not better than the other. It's all rooted in pride. I get that.
In the sense of the people that understand that
there's no difference.
Life,
there's no difference between religious and the ones that are openly not.
Let me try this.
Because the drug dealer is still operating out of pride in the same manner that the religious are operating out of pride.
Yeah, that's pride.
And that was Proverbs say? Proverbs says, pride goeth before the fall. Or cometh before the fall. Right? Goeth before the fall.
Pride cometh before the fall.
But even the fact that...
I think...
Oh, sorry, Paul, go ahead.
Ask Lucifer how that works. Ask Adam how that works. And that's not to pull the responsibility or accountability away from us because we're just like they are. You know, we might sit here in a Bible study shaking our heads going, I can't believe you did such a stupid thing. We'd have done the same thing. We're just like them.
Well, we have in some sort of way or form.
It's delusional to think you haven't. It really is.
But a lot of times we're under that delusion, just like I was telling you before about when the Lord, you know, when I wouldn't say when something is shown to you and how you really are and that light is shined upon you, you just go, oh my goodness. I mean, it was no news to Jesus that you're that way. I mean, he loved you anyway. It's right. News to you. I mean, to me, it was news to me. I mean, I knew I was a jerk, but
when you get that, when you get that and you realize, oh crap, I'd reject that guy in a heartbeat. That guy is you. Nathan tells David, you're the guy.
Yeah,
you're the man.
Absolutely. But I mean, that point of, I mean, I've seen people's life messed up upside down, but in their own self-deception and the pride, everything's great.
Yeah.
And what you're telling, everything's good. What do you mean there's a better way? Man, my life, my way's great. Really? Well, look at this. That's great. You call that great? Well,
maybe not that, but everything else.
Yeah, I mean, and so it's...
You know, if you got the fact that people get riled up is a testimony to the truth of the gospel. If I was going through the airport and they said, if you don't stand here and shake this tambourine, you're not going to achieve peace. Or if a Muslim said, look, if you want to make it to heaven, you need to strap on a bomb and go walk into a Jewish kindergarten. Or some of this stuff, I'd just be like, that's just dumb. I'm not going to do that. But it says, of his own will begat he us with a word of truth. So we come and we speak that truth. It resonates as true, and I think that's why people get flipped out sometimes.
I get the same, you know, back in the days, somebody, you get a Seventh-day Adventist or a Mormon or, you know, people doing house-to-house knock on doors from the local church.
Yeah.
And I sit there and I listen to their presentation. I go, you know what? I know me. I ain't going to be able to do that. That's not going to work for me.
I remember, and this is where the people, this is where things get really messed up. And you know, the churches, it kind of just reminded me of something. I remember going to a service with my dad at the Seventh-day Adventist. And he was talking about Seventh-day Adventists. They went on a mission, or, you know, one of those missions in another country. And they, what they did was they talked to the tribes people, blah blah. They apparently accepted the Lord, and they might have very much well have done.
Hope so.
I don't know the outcome, but at the end of it, this was what struck me when I went to that church, and it was one of them. Then he goes, "This is what." And as the guy was telling the story about the tribes drawing a circle, and it was like a lake of fire, and then they draw. And he drew another circle that was outside the lake of fire, and he goes, you know, move them from the lake of fire to out of the lake of fire. He says, and that's what was the Seventh-day Adventist has done for me, is what the people said. And I'm thinking to myself, well, then they got a completely wrong gospel if that's what they got out of it. That's what they got, because it wasn't the Seventh-day Adventist that saved them. It was Jesus Christ.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, James, you out there, man?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I just hadn't heard from you.
I tried to break in a few times, but it was...
Yeah, that was happening to me, too.
You know, the thing is about preaching the gospel... is we're there and called to throw the seed. And we're not there to judge the ground. And, you know, whether somebody's has an addiction or they're just very self-righteous, they're both in pride.
Yep.
And the truth is we're called to minister to both of them.
Absolutely.
We're called to minister to every single person that we come in contact with. Says go Absolutely. Out and preach the gospel.
That's right.
We don't even have to use words. Our life and our actions are a testimony. We're not called to judge the ground.
Amen.
And I'm not saying anybody was saying that we were, but I just think it's important for people to know that. It doesn't matter how that person looks. God died on the cross for all of us.
Amen.
Yeah, we're casting seed, not throwing stones.
That's right.
The truth is if we're truly humble, probably or could have been worse off than they are at the point that we speak to them at one time in our life. But thank God for His grace and that there was somebody willing to minister it to us.
Amen. Even and that's why you can't judge the ground or what that seed's going to go or what kind of ground that seed's going to go into. I mean, because you don't know. I mean, there might be complete rejection right then and there. Might be complete rejection right then and there, but you don't know what that's going to take root.
Right. Yeah, you don't see down the road.
In the long run. Might be the only conversations you have with them.
Well, I've beat up on people, you know, over a period of years that were actually working on my behalf, and I couldn't see it. So I don't. It should be a great shock, but I guarantee you, when it happens to me, I'll be all unhappy about it because that's just the way of things.
The other thing is you may be that only opportunity for that person.
Amen. See, and that's where you know you dine to yourself is that the opportunity is before you. You'll be quick to see that opportunity because you're about Him.
So you're supposed to walk instant in season and out of season and be looking for that.
Well, you're about His business. And if you're about His business and your focus is on Him, see, that opportunity is going to be right there. You're going to see it. He's going to call. You're going to hear. He's going to point. You're going to go. But see, if you're wrapped up in your own thing, in your own life, you're not. If you haven't died to yourself, you're not going to see that call. You're not going to see that point. You're not going to see.
Well,
all you're going to see is yourself and what you want and what you need and what you think you need.
Yeah, my plans, my dreams. Yeah, been there, done that.
The scripture I was screwing up was Proverbs 16:18, and thank you, Carter, for putting it in the chat.
Before destruction,
right, and a haughty spirit before the fall. Before a fall, it is. The most obvious separation between us and God. And it started when Lucifer said, you know, it's a pretty good gig you got here. Let me go have it myself. And everybody who followed in his path suffers the same end.
One of the things is, if you noticed, when Paul went to from place to place, you were talking about, you can just see the obedience of Paul in the scripture there. You know, what did he do when he preached the gospel? He preached the gospel to anybody who was there.
Yeah.
Anybody.
Yeah, I mean, whether he rejected or received, didn't matter. He was there for one thing and didn't knock him off his goal of preaching the gospel. He was just steadfast.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, I'm at the same time, we don't see all in detail of those things, or he did not learn things as he went the way. Go do about that. But he was steadfast. He never moved off the mark.
But if all we're paying attention to is ourselves and the way things affect us, even if we had been operating in discernment and the wisdom and the knowledge and instruction of the Lord, we're not seeing that anymore. We're looking back at ourselves.
Yeah.
When you get out of the Lord's way, it not only doesn't profit you, it doesn't profit anyone else. Right. And you get to a place where you can't even see what's going on. There, without the discernment and the understanding and the knowledge of wisdom of the Lord, you're just flailing around in the air. a striving after wind, as Solomon would say. Just, there's no point to it.
Yeah, I'm thinking of the parable of the talents. And Jesus told the one guy that had the least given to him, he said, you could have at least given it to the bankers, that I would have received my own with usury. And that, I mean, you're talking about getting off course and flailing. I look at that guy, giving it to a bank would be like if, at a minimum, you're plugged into a good functional body somewhere and listening and doing, and then you've got some kind of, it's even tangible anchor scheduling in your life, and it will help, like you always say, we kick each other back into play. I mean, it amazes me. I mean, I look at the guys in the fishermen ministry that live out really with no local body. You know, they've got internet, phone calls and all. I think that would be really tough. But if I can just stay in the boat and listen, just stay tuned in, I'm going to have some kind of anchoring in my normal day-to-day to keep me from getting totally off.
Yeah, and I don't know, but yeah, I need that anchoring.
Oh, I know.
There's things that'll knock me back, knock me sideways, knock me crooked, and I'm looking
just don't
at myself,
pay attention.
Not paying attention. And like you said, Paul, you're talking about focusing back on yourself and looking at the focusing on myself and not moving forward, but drawing back because maybe I just absolutely bombed somewhere. Screwed something up.
If you go off, you just haul off and do something you know you shouldn't do, you know you did it. But what you're describing, Paul, is just like a drift. You know, there's a drift that sets in. At that point,
it's given to certain members of the body to be able to nail that stuff down and kick you back into play.
Oh, absolutely.
Some people are perfecting the saints,
right?
Who have the wisdom and discernment because of their office and their position, to love you enough not to let you stay in that condition.
Yeah, they have the agape love. They're willing to step on them toes.
That's right.
I don't know. Okay.
We should all aspire
to off the ground.
Or step on your toes, knock you flat, and then pick you back up. That's sort of the way it's gone, you know. Nobody's called to be a Christian in isolation. We need each other. We need that body around us. That's why I'm here.
You'd be wandering off in one direction, wandering off in another direction. Something comes up in the way, and you get kind of shot to the side.
And don't even catch it. Don't know what happened.
Don't totally unaware.
What does it say in the... Shoot, I know I need it. What did it say? Do not forsake the
assembling of yourselves together.
Yeah, I mean it's vital, and I mean it's vital. I mean the Lord set us up in a beautiful way. I mean He's just given provision upon provision,
yeah.
You know, and that's really the thing. I mean He's given us provision upon provision to
succeed
in Him,
and He called
and. You know, it's there for your good. It's there for your using. It's there for you to just become a better minister of Jesus Christ to deliver that good news to others. And
He's not trying to beat it into you or out of you. It says those apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, when He ascended on high, that was the gift.
I know. It's right there for you. He set us up beautifully that way. It's like you can't be met. There's no excuse for you to go forward in Him. It really isn't. There's no excuse for you not to be having your face set to just go forward. There's no excuse. All that's taken out of the way. There's nothing that can stand. There's nothing that can stand there that says, I could not do it.
He's given you everything.
Yeah.
And when you don't do it right, you got an anchor within the veil. You got a priest that understands.
Yeah, and yeah, I mean, it's like we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And there's nothing that can hold you back from going forward except you just choosing not to go forward in it. And really, that's what it comes down to. It really comes down. And
it's so much like a win-win because it's like we've been told we can't disappoint God. He knows what kind of people he's dealing with. He knows this. We can, however, please him. Right. That's a win-win.
And just like I was sharing just recently, I think I was sharing Thursday night, is that saying, man, Lord, I knew I was a jerk. I didn't know I was that much of a jerk.
Yeah, it's always a shock.
And just, it's like, what? But you know what? He knew that when he put me in the position I am in.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
There's no reason for me to shrink back now. I'm just being perfected, and it's a good thing that's been revealed to me because I can repent and I can be more mindful in this serving him.
Be better at what he's called me to do.
Yeah. He's loving, but man, guys, don't drop that gift. Don't drop those gifts he's given in the church. You're talking about apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Don't cast those things.
And don't
off.
Be afraid to take hold of what you've been given.
Yeah.
You'll make good use of the ministry you've been given. I'll say that to me. I think you're doing okay. I need to make good use of the ministry I've been given.
What do you think, James? Are we in a rat place?
I think so, Paul.
I kind of got that impression. I thank y'all for joining me this week. Thanks to the guys, Philip, Brad, James. We're going to call it a week. Y'all have a great one.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.